streaming down the Yangtze team, now arriving in Chongqing. This is where the team will officially begin its two-week trek down the Yangtze River as of today. Team making stops in the cities of Yueyang, Wuhan, Zhejiang, and Nanjing before reaching the final destination, Shanghai, of course, where the Yangtze River enters into the sea. Now, Chongqing itself, a key city on the Yangtze River, a transportation hub for Western China, as well as a key link along the Belt and Road. Now, for more on the trip and what's happening in Chongqing itself, we're now on the line with our Yang Guang, CRI reporter on the trip. Yang Guang, thanks for taking a few moments with us. Obviously, you guys must be getting pretty excited about starting the official trip down the Yangtze River. Pretty hot in Chongqing these days. What's the expectation? What's the expectation for you guys as you head get your trip started from Chongqing?
We boarded the ship yesterday afternoon and docked in downtown Chongqing, and we are now arrived in Wanzhou district of Chongqing City, where we will have a look at a local river cleaning project. Our ship runs at 30 kilometers per hour on average and is expected to reach Shanghai in 13 days after traveling over 1,800 kilometers on water. For the following journey, every day we will leave the ship at daytime to visit the cities or counties we stop by and return to the ship at night to continue the trip. Traveling on the river means we can see the Yangtze River from a very different perspective. On the ship, we're able to observe the river closely and constantly see the banks of the river, comparing different places in terms of ecological situation, people's lifestyles, and farming and industrial activities. This is very different from traveling by land, because on land, it goes sport to sport, but now it's more about consistency. Back to you, Paul.
Yeah, obviously, the Yangtze River has thousands of years of history as a major transportation hub here in China, of course, being the longest river in this country. But, of course, now with the Belt and Road Initiative taking precedent, the river takes on a new sort of a different sense, in particular in Chongqing. How exactly is the Belt and Road being accommodated, and what's going on with the Belt and Road projects in the Chongqing area?
Yesterday, we visited an inland port on the Yangtze River in Chongqing called Guoyuan Port. It's one of the biggest ports of the area, which can handle 30 million tons of cargo annually. The advantage of the port is that it has the water depth similar to a seaport, which means those big freighters would be able to dock here to load and unload cargo. Besides Guoyuan Port's role as an inland port, it also functions along the Belt and Road route. Chongqing is already on the China-Europe rail line, with at least one cargo train loaded with Chinese car, chemical, and food products departing here, destined to cities like Belarus, Minsk, and Germany's Duisburg. Meantime, southward railways and sea routes can mobilize products to Southeast Asian countries like Singapore and Malaysia. In this sense, a railway has already been built across Guoyuan ports, which means cargoes from a river can be immediately loaded on trains and transported to different railway junctions to further convene. Guoyuan Port is a typical example of how rail lines are seamlessly connected with the waterways. In this way, the goods from Yunnan, Guizhou, Sichuan provinces, which don't have very mature logistics system, can depend on Yangtze River to be transported to the hub of Chongqing and further to domestic cities and to Belt and Road countries through railways. The manager of Guoyuan Port told us the role Chongqing plays between Yangtze and Belt and Road has become increasingly significant, and the city will benefit more from this trade openness.